It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susanna Wensby is cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 22nd of March, the 81st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 284 days left until the end of the year. Yay! The vernal equinox was this past Thursday for the Northern Hemisphere, and it came not a minute too soon. The winter sure has been long and dreary. So let's have a poem to celebrate. It was written by RFI Listeners Club member Helmut Matt from Herbolzheim, Germany. It's called Spring Magic. The world is colorful, first yellow and green, when gardens and meadows are in bloom. Light and colors, at night the stars, a glimmer of hope in the distance. When the sun smiles at us longer, the world awakens after sleep. And dreams, morning haze, the blackbird sings, the distant church bell sounds. When crocuses and primroses bloom, flocks of birds migrate north. When spring winds blow from the south, the long winter night passes. Love seeks eternity, kindness spreads its wings. Is it a dream, a beautiful image? A ray of hope wrapped in foam. Far in the distance, a light is shining. False promises do not help. In the dying of a gloomy time, every heart strives for bliss. When nature blossoms outside, the world is covered with colors. The spirit returns to the world. All the happiness of being is illuminated. Spring Magic by Helmut Matt from Herbolzheim in Germany. It's included in Helmut's new collection of poems, Hope. In the end, light conquers. Thank you, Helmut. And may light conquer sooner than later, not just for this new spring, but in the world at large. Good timing, Helmut's poem, as yesterday was World Poetry Day. RFI Listeners Club member Bidhan Chandra Sanyal from West Bengal, India, wrote about the celebration of poetry in a letter to us, in which he included several quotes about poetry. I really like this one from the Soviet-Russian poet Yevgeny Yevtushenko. Poetry is like a bird. It ignores all boundaries. Thank you for that, Bidhan. And a call out to our listeners in Bihar, India. Today is Bihar Day, which marks the formation of the state of Bihar in 1912. Happy Bihar Day!
I am called Mustafa Baro. I live in Serrakunda, Gambia. I'm one of the fans, everyday listener of RFI. Thank you.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome is at his mixing board behind the glass window in front of us. And our co-chef, Paul Byers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister.
So, Paul, are you leaping for joy with the return of sunny days? But then again, you're from foggy London town, so maybe you have a high tolerance for the grey and rainy Paris we live in?
I don't really see the seasons because I live in a nuclear bunker.
You weirdo. With daffodils. however. Which,
apparently, I've heard about those.
Okay, so off we go. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz. On the 22nd of February, I asked you a question about the French sculptress Camille Claudel. That week, after an incredible find, her lost for over 100 years sculpture, The Mature Age, was sold at auction for 3.1 million euros. You were to reread our article. Claudel bronze sculpture found by chance fetches 3 million at France auction, and send in the answer to this question. Aside from The Mature Age, what are the other names of Claudel's sculpture? Paul, what's the answer?
To quote our article, also known as Destiny, the Path of Life or Fatality, the work was originally a commission from the state but was never completed. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question suggested by Mugiri Mashuki from Kisii in Kenya. What is the one thing you can't do without? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are Amir Jamil, the president of the RFI Online Visitors Club in Sahiwal, Pakistan. Amir is also the winner of this week's bonus question. This is what he wrote. The one truly essential thing I must have is knowledge. It fuels my curiosity, shapes my understanding, and helps me connect with the world. Without it, I would feel lost. Whether through books, conversations, or experiences, learning is what keeps me moving forward. Congratulations, Amir, on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Sultan Sarkar, the president of the Shetu RFI Fan Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh, Muhammad Rayan, a member of the RFI International DX Radio Listeners Club in Murshidabad, India, as well as Sharifan Islam Nitu, a member of the RFI Amur Fan Club in Rajshahi, Bangladesh. Last but oh so never, ever, ever least, RFI Listeners Club member Jayanta Chakrabarty from New Delhi, India. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. This week, Paul wrote a profile for us of the 7-time Olympic medalist Kirsty Coventry, the most decorated African in the 129-year history of the Games. Coventry was one of the candidates vying for the presidency of the International Olympic Committee, and remembering her financial struggles as a young athlete, vowed, as Paul wrote, to improve the lot of up-and-coming youngsters were she to win the post. I want you to reread his article, Zimbabwe's Aspiring Olympic Supremo, Coventry, Targets Development of Athletes, and send in a list of the medals the swimmer won, along with the dates of the games in which she won them. Again, reread Paul Meyer's article, Zimbabwe's Aspiring Olympic Supremo Coventry, Targets Development of Athletes, and send in a list of the medals Coventry has won, along with the dates of the games in which she won them. You'll find Paul's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
It's from Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight in southern England. And his question is, do you believe that people have a sixth sense, that is, an ability to know something without using the ordinary 5 senses of smell, sight, taste, hearing, and touch? Can you recall any personal experiences to justify your belief?
Baby brother?
Well, I'd need an entire sound kitchen to go through all of them, because I come from a long line of people with the sixth sense.
Seers and soothsayers.
Yeah, it's mum on the mother's side. Yeah, my dad got into it with his mysticism and things like that. So he tried to develop it in me. But it was, I think, innate. The one thing I remember quite clearly was just after I started at The Guardian in London. This is back 1991 or something like that. I used to work late, so I'd work from 6 p.m. till 2 a.m. And it was the days when there wasn't the internet, so you had these big libraries where you had to, all the cuttings were in these folders, so you had to go upstairs to the library, which is on the second floor, and push back all these kind of rails with things of containing all the dossiers which you needed to delve into, and you'd get out all the old newspaper cuttings and then take them downstairs and write your story. So this was all done on with deadline approaching. So I raced up one evening. It was about 1:15 in the morning. Raced up and pushed one of these huge, long things along. And I saw at the end a man with a grey beard and spectacles in a kind of tweed suit. And I thought, there's usually no one up here at 1:15 in the morning. In fact, there was never anyone up there apart from the features people, which were down at another end, but it's really sparsely populated. And I thought, I've never seen him before. And I then thought, and I've got a creepy feeling around my back. And so I raced down to the other end of the rail, could not see a trace of this bloke. And there is no ways he could have moved that fast, because I was a lot younger and I moved fast. And he was gone. I raced up and down the room, not a sight of this bloke. So I went downstairs, said to my night news editor, I think I've just seen a ghost upstairs. And she said, oh, don't be so stupid. You know, get on with the story. We've got 20 minutes. And about 3 weeks later, my sister came in to visit because I just started at this national newspaper and da-di-da-di-da, shown at the first. So we went up to the library and said, this is the library. And my sister said,
no.
Is this place haunted? Ooh. And I said, funny you say that, Donna, ooh, because about a couple of weeks ago, I saw somebody down there and I had the same feeling. And she said, yeah, this place is haunted. Don't come up here alone unless you really, really have to. Or just be careful, you know, say a prayer before you come upstairs. Yeah. So
did you ever find out who?
No, because I went into the office the next day and said, is there somebody working here who's quite a small grey beard and da da da? He said, you know, no one of that description works here.
Ooh.
So it was obviously some bloke who used to work there and come back. I reckon it was an old librarian who'd come back. And
make sure you guys were filing those papers correctly.
It was a ghost. It was a ghost.
Wow, Paul.
Yeah.
Wow.
And another one happened on holiday, but that's another story. But
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
We're gonna have a big pot of tea, and you're gonna tell me all these great stories. I love that.
Anyway, that was the sixth sense.
Okay.
Yeah. And you?
Well, unless you can call intuition. Yeah. Sixth sense.
But there is a bit of that.
Yeah, that I have. You know, that little voice that says, don't do that, do this. And if I've learned through the years that if I listen to that voice, I'm happy. And if I don't, I'm usually unhappy. So I'll give you, you're going to love this. Yeah. I'll give you an example. So last week, I went to a shop on my bicycle. I come out of the shop and it's raining just lightly. And I think, I shouldn't take the bike. I might slip and fall.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I took the bus. As I'm crossing the street to get to the bus, I slip and fall right in the middle of the street. So I had an intuition. It was just a little off.
Yeah. It was a five and a half sense.
There you go. I have 5.5 senses. Boom. Okay. What about you? Do you believe that people have a sixth sense, an ability to know something without using the 5 natural senses? Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. You have until the 14th of April to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 19th of April to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
Hello, this is Collins Kabali-Mwale from YARFM Radio in Kitwe, Zambia. You're listening to The Sound Kitchen on Radio France International with Susan Owens-B. Good evening.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week, suggested by Mogire Machuki from Kisi in Kenya, was, what is the one thing you can't do without? So let's start with Mogire. He wrote that the one thing he absolutely cannot do without is his national identification card, which, he wrote, can be crucial in case of an emergency. It will not come as a surprise to you that the overwhelming response was radio. That's true for Radhakrishna Pillai, who wrote, the most essential thing that I cannot live without is my radio. The D109 global band receiver updates about international events have enriched me with various programs. Ditto for Debashish Gop, Helmut Matt, and Salim Akhtar Chadar, who added, radio is my friend, my companion, my mentor, and my teacher. If I don't listen to the radio in the evening, I can't sleep.
Well, you're all in the right place. Father Stephen Wara, however, gave me a little friendly absolution for my one thing I can't live without, which is my electronic cigarette, to which I'm completely addicted. This is what he wrote. My daily one or two cups of coffee is that one thing I would find near impossible to wave goodbye to. That, despite repeated advice about the dangers, if they're really true, that heavy doses of caffeine into the system of a chap fast advancing in age, as is your father Steve. Darling Susan, never mind. You're not alone in your own particular addiction. Thank you, Father. I had a boyfriend once who shared his always must-have with Malik Momin Raza Kokar, which was quite appreciated by me. Malik wrote, the one truly essential thing that I must have with me is my box of tools. With this, I can transform any place, no matter how desolate, into a home. It makes me strong. There is something to do everywhere. Without my tools, I would feel completely helpless and useless.
For Jayanta Chakrabarty, it's books. Here's what he wrote. Books are my constant companion, without which I cannot live a single day. You may call it an addiction, but this has been the way since my early academic days. St. Xavier's College, my alma mater, had a well-stocked library, and students were allowed to borrow four books at a time for 15 days. I am thankful to my teachers for encouraging us to read books. That created the habit of book reading. Though I am not a bookworm, I enjoy the company of printed literature. I have no particular subjects I prefer, as every book is a valuable treasure house to me for imparting invaluable knowledge and helping to change my outlook on life. It's also the best medicine for stress reduction. We'll end with Dipita Chakrabarty, who wrote, the one and only thing I cannot do without is my mother's love. Though I miss her physical presence ever since I left my parents' home in Kolkata after my marriage, I am regularly in touch with her to receive her blessings and advice to live a life of richness and value. She has remained my best friend and mentor to guide and help me to do good things for others and to always think positively.
Many a time her affection and mental support have steered me out of troubles and miseries. I must have my mother's affection and care as long as I live. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Alan Holder, is, do you believe that people have a sixth sense, an ability to know something without using the ordinary five senses of smell, sight, taste, hearing, and touch? Can you recall any personal experiences to justify your belief? Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Byers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
Thank you very much. A pleasure, as always.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It's the Sound of the Kitchen.
Kitchen.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to our sound engineer, Erwan Rome, for his input and his expertise in putting the show together. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, March 29th, for the answer to the question about the recent U.S. vote at the United Nations. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose music from my hands-down favorite French singer-songwriter, Georges Brassens. Erwan chose his song La Mauvaise Réputation, or The Bad Reputation. It came out in 1952 and was not allowed to be played on the airwaves for several years because it criticized the military. The narrator prefers to say in his nice soft bed on the 14th of July, France's Independence Day, instead of participating in the militaristic festivities. He won't chase down someone who steals apples because they're hungry. And there's an oblique criticism of the Roman Catholic Church. I'll quote Wikipedia to give you a good idea of Brassens. His songs often decry hypocrisy and self-righteousness in the conservative French society of the time, especially among the religious, the well-to-do, and those in law enforcement. The criticism is often indirect, focusing on the good deeds or innocence of others in contrast. His elegant use of florid language and dark humor, along with bouncy rhythms, often give a rather jocular feeling to even the grimmest lyrics. He accompanied himself on the guitar, sometimes with a bass player, sometimes with a second guitarist, but usually it's just the poet, his voice, and his guitar. Considered one of France's most accomplished post-war poets, Brassens was born in 1921. He died in 1981. It is one of the sadnesses of my life. I never got to hear him in concert. Thank heaven for recordings. I hope you appreciate his sound, even if you cannot understand his words. So, here it is, La Mauvaise Réputation, written and performed by Georges Brassens. Thank you, Erwan, for another musical journey. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week.
Au village sans prétention, j'ai mauvaise réputation. Je me démène ou que je reste quoi, je passe pour un je ne sais quoi. Je ne fais pourtant de tort à personne en suivant mon chemin de petit bonhomme. Mais les braves, j'en aime pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Non, les braves, j'en aime pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Tout le monde médit de moi, sauf les muets, ça va de soi. Le jour du 14 juillet, je reste dans mon lit douillet. La musique qui marche au pas, cela ne me regarde pas. Je ne fais pourtant de tort à personne en n'écoutant pas le clairon qui sonne. Mais les braves gens n'aiment pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Non, les braves gens n'aiment pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Tout le monde me montre au doigt, sauf les manchots, ça va de soi. Quand je croise un voleur malchanceux, poursuivi par un cutéreux, je lance la patte et pourquoi le taire? Le cutéreux se retrouve par terre. Je ne fais pourtant de tort à personne en laissant courir les voleurs de pommes. Mais les braves gens n'aiment pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Non, les braves gens n'aiment pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Tout le monde se rue sur moi, sauf les cul-de-jattes. Ça va de soi. Pas besoin d'être Jérémie pour deviner le sort qui m'est promis. S'ils trouvent une corde à leur goût, ils me la passeront au cou. Je ne fais pourtant de tort à personne en suivant les chemins qui ne mènent pas à Rome. Mais les braves gens n'aiment pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Non, les braves gens n'aiment pas que l'on suive une autre route que. Tout le monde viendra me voir pendu, sauf les aveugles, bien entendu.